The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
All right, if you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Thankful to be here tonight. I appreciate this opportunity. I love this church. I love my dad and the example that he is to me. I miss my family that's here, my mom, my brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews. So it's definitely good to be back tonight. I'm glad my wife Katie is here, sitting over here. We are expecting our first child in September, and we're having a little girl, so we're excited about that. I'm sort of glad that my dad's not here tonight. He'd make me a little bit more nervous. I remember every year growing up, my dad would go on a staff retreat with some of the staff members, and he'd be gone for a couple days, and this was always a fun time for me because, you know, we got to have friends over and we got to play for a couple days, and it was always a lot of fun. Well, I remember this one particular year, my dad was getting ready to leave on this staff trip, and he pulled all the kids together and he said, "I want to tell you two things before we go. Number one, you make sure that you obey Danielle. She's in charge." And I said, "Yes, sir." But in my head, I was thinking, Danielle's in charge. You know, that's hilarious. And he said, "Make sure that you obey Danielle." And the second thing he said was, "Make sure you keep the house clean. Make sure you keep everything in order. Keep the house clean." And so those were his instructions. And then he left. And I remember he left, and we just had a blast those couple days. We played all kinds of games. We had friends over. They spent the night. And we had a lot of fun. And I remember one of the things that we wanted to do was to build a tent. And we wanted to take some of the sheets in our house and build this massive tent. And Larry, my brother, he came over and he helped us build this tent. And we moved couches around. We made tunnels in this tent. We took off every sheet off every bed in our house to make this massive tent. And it was awesome. We moved all the TVs inside the tent so we could play games in there. And we made this unbelievable fort inside of our house. Well, we decided to play Cowboys and Indians while we were playing in the tent. And I had just got a brand new BB gun that I got for my birthday. And so we were playing with this BB gun, and we were playing in this tent, having a blast. And I remember I was aiming that BB gun, playing, and I did not realize that it was loaded. And I shot my friend right in the neck, started bleeding profusely. Now, luckily, it wasn't a very powerful gun, but nonetheless, he started bleeding. He started screaming. And in that very moment, my dad walks through the door. And it was terrible timing. My dad came in and he saw sheets everywhere. He saw this huge mess. He saw my friend bleeding and screaming out of his neck. And then he sees me holding a BB gun, you know, just standing there. And I remember that turned out to be a pretty bad night. He took that BB gun and he spanked me with it until he broke it. And that was not any fun. I spent the next 3 hours folding sheets. So that was a terrible night. So I'm kind of glad my dad's not here tonight, you know. But I just talked to him. Today, and he's excited about being back here this Sunday. He's looking forward to it. He is energized. I recently read that some have said that George Washington is remembered as the greatest American general of all time. I've read that Picasso is known as the greatest painter the world has ever seen. I've read recently that Americans voted Ronald Reagan as the greatest president in our history. I read that Michael Jordan is said to be the greatest basketball player ever. Michael Phelps is said to be the greatest Olympian. Thomas Edison is said to be the greatest inventor of all time. But if I were to ask you, who is the greatest person to ever live other than Jesus, who would you think of? The greatest person to ever live other than Jesus, who would you think of? Well, Jesus answers that in our text today. So if you have your Bible open, Matthew chapter number 11, we'll get right into it. Matthew chapter number 11, starting reading in verse number 2. The Bible says this, Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Verse number 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born among women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Dear Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the great reports that we've heard with Vacation Bible School. I pray that you'd be with the kids tonight. I pray that many more decisions will be made. God, I pray that you'd be with us in this room for the next few minutes. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. Give me the words to say. Lord, I pray that we'd be challenged and encouraged tonight, and that we could leave here just a little bit differently than when we came. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist is a very interesting character in the Bible. We know that he is the cousin of Jesus. We know that he is also a prophet. The Bible tells us that his main purpose was to point others to Jesus. His main purpose was to prepare the way for Jesus to come. He spent the majority of his life wandering out in the wilderness. He had some strange qualities about him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." That's who John was. He was a very eccentric, kind of in-your-face, exciting person. He was a man's man. He lived out in the wilderness. He grew a beard. Duck Dynasty has nothing on John the Baptist, okay? He's the original mountain man. That's who he was. And here in our text today, we find that John is in prison. And the reason that he's in prison is because he wasn't afraid to stand up for truth. He wasn't afraid to stand up for what's right. You can read about it in Mark chapter number 6, but John the Baptist goes before Herod and points his finger in his face and says, "You're living in sin." And for that reason, he's in prison. John was a bold, rough, tough character. He never performed any miracles. He never healed anyone. He simply preached, baptized, and pointed others to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that he is the greatest. And God intended for us to experience greater things in our lives as well. And the Bible says in John 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." See, God wants us to experience greater things in our lives. And here in Matthew chapter number 11, we kind of see a behind-the-scenes look at John the Baptist. Kind of a different view. It's not typical John the Baptist. In fact, if this was the only portion of Scripture that we knew about John the Baptist, we'd think, well, what's so great about him? It's kind of a different view. And I believe that there's some principles that we can find in these verses that will be an encouragement to us. And what I want to do, if you have your outlines nearby, I want to break up this text into three different segments that we'll look at. Number one, the first thing is this. I want to see what John wanted to hear. What John wanted to hear. Look back at verse number 2 in your notes. "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Letter A in your notes is clarification. John wanted to hear clarification. He was at a moment in his life where he needed to hear some clarification. I remember several years ago, we were on vacation, and my dad wanted to take me and my brother out golfing on this vacation. And so we were excited about that. But my sister, Christine, wanted to come along as well. And so she wanted to come not to play golf. She wanted to come to drive the cart. You know, she was excited about driving the cart. And so my dad kind of pulled us aside before we were going to go out. And he said, "Now, I just paid good money to play in this golf course. You have to be serious. You know, golf is a gentleman's sport. You have to obey the rules. You can't be screaming, making loud noises. Make sure that you follow all the rules." And so we said, "Okay, that's great." So I was riding in the cart with my dad, and Christine was driving the cart for my brother. That's what she was so excited about doing. And I remember we were playing, and my brother, he hit a great shot and landed right on the green next to the flag. It was a great shot. And Larry said to Christine, "Take me to my ball." And the next thing you know, Christine drives all the way up onto the green and parks next to the flag. And if you know anything about golf, that is a no-no, okay? You don't do that. You don't park right next to the flag on the green. And my dad sees this, and I'm thinking, oh no, Christine's going to die, you know? And my dad, he yells, "Christine, get off the green!" And Christine looked back as serious as she could be, and she said, "What? It's all green." You know, she had no idea where she was. And so apparently we didn't tell her that she wasn't supposed to go up there, and she needed further clarification that she was not supposed to drive up onto the green. John was at a moment in his life where he needed some clarification. He was in prison. He was hearing about all these things that Jesus was doing, and he was unsure why he was still in prison. He was at a moment of confusion, and this wasn't making any sense to him. And so he sends two of his disciples to Jesus, and they ask him, "Are you the one that should come? Are you the coming Messiah? Or are we waiting for someone else?" And as a result of John's circumstances, he begins to experience doubt. The same John the Baptist that had already preached to thousands of people, the same John the Baptist that had already baptized Jesus, the same John the Baptist that had already pointed others to Jesus as the Messiah, is beginning to experienced doubt in his life. He needed to hear some clarifications. Now, this was not unbelief, but it was doubt. There is a difference. Doubt says, I don't get it. I'm not sure. Will you help me understand? Let's work through this. Unbelief says, I get it. I understand, but I refuse to accept it. G. Campbell Morgan said it this way. Unbelief is an act of the will, while doubt is born out of a troubled mind and a broken heart. And so John had some uncertainty. He didn't doubt that the Messiah would come, but he was doubting if Jesus was the one or if he wasn't. And so he wanted to double check. He wanted clarification. It's as if John was saying, I believe that you are the Messiah. Am I wrong in believing this? He wanted clarification. And all of us at times, like John, go through periods in our life of uncertainty where our faith is shaken, maybe times of doubt. And one pastor said it this way, sometimes we have to go through the foyer of doubt to enter the sanctuary of certainty. And that reminds me of the verse in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, but help me with this believing thing. To conquer doubt, we must first conquer pride. You see, John, by sending his two disciples, was admitting that he had a weakness. John was willing to say to his subordinates, yes, I'm having a moment of weakness. Will you get this clarification for me? And it's a good place to be. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. John had enough humility to say, hey, I need some clarification. I need some clarification. By the way, John Wesley points out that neither the Romans nor the Greeks have a word in their vocabulary for humility, because man does not want to admit his weakness, and therefore greatness cannot be attained. It's not wrong to have questions or concern, but here's the key, and in your notes it's letter B. John wanted clarification, but he wanted it from Christ. John wanted clarification, but he wanted it from Christ. He went to the right person. The best place to learn about Christ is to go to Christ. John went to the right person. Just a second ago, I quoted G. Campbell Morgan. He was a famous pastor. He began preaching when he was 13 years old. And by the time he was 19 years old, he was preaching every single Sunday, had a great ministry. His life was an amazing life. He went on to teach at the Moody Bible Institute, preached to thousands of people, pastored at the Westminster Chapel in London, had a great ministry. But he talks about when he was 19 years old, he began to experience doubt of the Bible, of if it was true. And he said he began reading some of the popular various writings of agnostics and atheists, which, by the way, are becoming more and more popular today. And he was reading some of these things, and he began to experience doubt. And so what he said that he did was he canceled all his preaching engagements, he stopped all meetings, he stopped going to debates, he locked up all his books, and he went to the store and he bought a brand new Bible, and he said, and he went and he spent some time alone in the Bible, and he said the results were amazing. He said, and I quote, the Bible found me. He said, the Bible found me. This new assurance motivated him to do more than ever. See, he went to the right source. To learn about Christ, we must go to Christ. Clarification from Christ is a great thing. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. See, that's clarification. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Aren't you glad that the Bible says you can know for sure? There's no wondering, there's no doubt that we can get clarification from the Word of God. And so John needed this clarification in his life, but not from anybody. From Christ. That's what John wanted to hear. So how did Jesus respond to this message? Well, look at the second thing in your notes. The second thing is this, what Jesus wanted John to hear. So not only what John wanted to hear, but let's see what Jesus wanted John to hear. This is Jesus' response. And I love Jesus' response. In fact, in Luke's gospel, we have the same account take place, and it gives us a little bit more insight to what happens. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7, verse number 20, when the men were coming to him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto them that were blind he gave sight. They come to Jesus, they say, hey, John sent us. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one to come? Are you the one? And Jesus says, hold that thought. I'm right in the middle of healing the sick. I'm right in the middle of raising the dead. I'm right in the middle of healing the blind. Hold on one second. I love that response. His response was a demonstration of his deity. That was his response. The proof is in the power. Let's look a little bit closer at Jesus' response. Look at verse number 4 back in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 4 says this, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. See, this is stuff that John already knew. Jesus says, go and tell him again. This is stuff that John had already knew. He already preached it. And sometimes in life, we don't need a new revelation from God. We need to be reminded of what we already know. The best facts, the greatest promises, the strongest warnings will do us no good if we forget them. How many of you in here are forgetful? Yep, I'm a little bit forgetful. Every year, my mom, she puts on an Easter egg hunt for us, the kids and the grandkids, and it's always a lot of fun. But it seems like every year she forgets where she puts the eggs. And so, you know, we're done with the Easter egg hunt, and it'll be 6 months later, and we'll, like, sit on the couch, and, oh, found another egg, you know. My mom, sometimes she forgets where she put those eggs. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you to say. Paul says, I'm just going to keep on writing the same things to you because you need to remember this. You need to understand it. We need to hear the same scriptures again. We need to never have the attitude or the mindset that says, I've heard this one before. That should never be our heart, never be our mindset. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. The Bible says in John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm glad that we have the Holy Spirit to fill us, to instruct us, to guide us, but I'm glad the Holy Spirit reminds us of things that we need to be reminded of. Look at verse number 5. Jesus goes on to say, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus responds by letter A, a reminder from Scripture. And here Jesus is actually quoting Old Testament Scripture. He's pulling from 5 sections of the book of Isaiah. He's pulling from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 26, 19, 29, 18, Isaiah 35, 6, and Isaiah 61, verse 1. Jesus knew the Scriptures very well. He was quoting them. And so did John. Isaiah is a book filled with prophecy about Jesus. Some call it the fifth gospel because it contains so much information about Jesus. And hundreds of years before Jesus came, these things were prophesied and predicted about him. And so Jesus demonstrates his power, and by doing so, he's telling John, hey, what Isaiah prophesied would happen when the Messiah would come, it's happening. What Isaiah said would happen when the Messiah would come, it's happening. And he says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Go and show John again these things. Jesus pointed to himself by pointing John to Scripture. And it's an amazing example for us to follow, to go to the Bible, to study the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. The Bible says in James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, this man will be blessed in his deeds. See, it's not about a quick glance. It's about a long study, a meditation on the word of God, a continuing therein. The Bible tells us in Acts that the Bereans were noble. Why were they noble? They searched the Scriptures daily. And so Jesus, he gives this reminder from Scripture to comfort John. And then, letter B in your notes, he gives a rule for satisfaction. He gives a rule for satisfaction. Look at verse number 6. Jesus says this, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus is, in this verse, is dealing with those who don't trust or don't understand when things don't go their way. And so Jesus was saying to John in this verse, hey John, I know you're in prison right now. I know this is not how you thought it would be, but blessed is he who is not offended in me. Don't be disappointed. See, when what you experience does not match with what you expected, don't be offended. When what you experience does not match what you expected, don't be offended. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. See, the rule for satisfaction is to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. You say, well, that sounds simple, but it's not always simple. I mentioned earlier that Jesus quoted from 5 passages of Isaiah. He pulled from these verses. But maybe John wanted him to quote one more verse. The Bible says in Isaiah 61, verse 1, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. See, John wanted to hear that verse. John wanted Jesus to quote that verse. Hey, the one about, you know, releasing the prisoners, quote that one. That's what John wanted to hear. But Jesus says, not yet. My timing, Blessed is he who is not offended in me. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalms 40, verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Psalms 31, verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. The rule for satisfaction, you want to be blessed. You want to have joy in life. Trust God. Don't be offended, even when things don't go your way. So first we saw what John wanted to hear, and then we saw what Jesus wanted John to hear, what really mattered. He wanted him to hear a reminder from Scripture and a rule for satisfaction. Notice the third thing tonight is this. The third element of this text is what John never heard. What John never heard. Now this is going to be good, all right? So stick with me. This will be an encouragement. Verse number 7. The Bible says this. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? And so, as John's disciples leave, Jesus begins to talk to the crowds about John. And he speaks very highly about John. In verses we read a second ago, he says, there is none greater to be born among women than John the Baptist. He speaks very highly, great things. He talks about John's character, speaks these wonderful things about John. But John never heard it. It's as his disciples left that Jesus begins to speak about John. I wrote in my Bible, Jesus talks about John behind his back. And usually when people talk about someone behind their back, it's because they're afraid to say something to their face, but we know that's not Jesus. Jesus would look at the Pharisees and say, you're whitewashed tombs, you're hypocrites. Jesus was not afraid to say something to someone's face. And so why does Jesus wait until John's disciples leave before Jesus says these wonderful things about John? And the reason is Jesus wanted John to focus on Jesus and not on John. Jesus wanted John's attention and John's focus to not be on his own life or his own circumstances. Jesus wanted John's attention to be on Jesus. I like to get affirmation. I like words of encouragement. You know, I always tell Katie, you know, tell me if I'm doing a good job. I like to hear that kind of stuff. And I remember when Katie and I first moved to Oceanside, we moved into an apartment. And we went in there and we moved all our stuff in, and it was a great little apartment. We loved it. And I remember one of our cabinet doors fell off. It broke off. It fell on the floor. And so a couple days went by, and Katie said, you need to call the front desk, and they'll come and fix it. And I was thinking, you know, I don't need to call anybody. I can fix this cabinet, you know. And so I got out my little tool set that I have, and I went over there, and I got to work. And Katie wasn't in there at the time, and I was going to surprise her, you know, fixing this cabinet door. And so I did the best that I could, and I screwed it in. It was tight, and it looked good. It lined up perfectly. And I remember Katie walked out of the room, and she saw that this cabinet door was put back up. And I was kind of just waiting there, you know, seeing what she was going to say. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, oh, cool. And that was it. And I was thinking in my mind, that's it? You know, oh, cool? In my mind, I had just rebuilt our entire apartment, you know. And she says, oh, cool? And I was a little bit disappointed in that. Needless to say, the cabinet door fell down the next day. But that's irregardless. In this moment, John did not get the affirmation that he desired. He never heard that message. He was in prison, feeling all alone, filled with uncertainty. And in that moment, Jesus was saying great things about him. He was rejoicing over him. The Bible says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. You may be going through a difficult season, but just know that Jesus loves you like you are the only person on earth. And just like John, you might not always hear that message. You might not always get the affirmation, the recognition, or the pat on the back that you desire, but Jesus notices you. Jesus wants your focus and attention to be on him and not on yourself. You might think, nobody notices all that I do. Nobody notices the hard work. Nobody knows the pain that I've been through. Nobody knows how much effort I put into this. And God says, I notice. And you might not get that affirmation or recognition that you desire, but just keep on going. Be encouraged. Because in John's moment of weakness, Jesus was proclaiming his greatness. So just keep on going. Stay committed. What exactly did Jesus say about John? Well, first of all, in your notes, letter A, he talks about his personal character. Personal character. Look at verse number 7 again. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? See, John was a good preacher. Because people would go into the wilderness to hear him preach. Who in their right mind would go into the middle of the desert to hear preaching? I'm not sure. But John was a good preacher. And he says, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? a reed shaken with the wind. John had stability in his life. Stability. He wasn't a reed shaken in the wind. He was a man of stability, a man of commitment. He had questions. He had some uncertainty, but he stayed committed. I remember several months ago, we were at home, and I received a phone call, and it was the producers from the show Wipeout. Have any of you ever seen the show Wipeout? And I was wondering why they were calling me. I was wondering how they had my number. And they said, hey, we want you and your wife to come and audition for a couple's edition of the show Wipeout. And I was thinking, I didn't put an application in. I don't know what you're talking about. And I look over at Katie, and she's smiling, you know. And so I realized that Katie had volunteered us to go and audition for the show Wipeout. And so we went to this audition. It was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done in my life. You have to stand in front of a camera, and they ask you all these questions, and they want you to act all crazy and do all these different things. And so it was pretty humiliating. It was pretty embarrassing. Long story short, we did not get on the show. We were not funny enough. And but if you've ever seen that show, it's a funny show only because people are getting tossed around. They're falling up and down. They're all over the place. And you know, that's funny when it's a show, but not when it's life. And many people are up and down all over the place, a roller coaster of emotions. But I want to remind you that our God is a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus does not change. And John was a man who was not a reed shaken with the wind. He was a man of stability, is what the Bible says. Colossians 2, verse 7 says this, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Ephesians 4 verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. John was not a reed shaken in the wind. He was established. He was committed. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, Jesus says, but what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. Jesus was saying, hey, John is not a passive man wearing soft clothing. He's a man's man. John was not wearing a snuggie, passing out hugs, okay? John was a strong, bold, rough, tough character. And John's attitude was, I don't care what I look like. I'm not concerned with other people, what they think about me. I'm committed to a cause. And his lifestyle was a statement against self-centeredness. And John was not concerned about what other people thought about him. He was strong. He was committed. Look at verse number 9. Jesus says, but what went ye out for? To see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. More than a prophet. So John never heard about his personal character, what Jesus said. And also, letter B, about his privileged calling. His privileged calling. Jesus said he's more than a prophet. What does that mean? He's more than a prophet. John was more than a prophet because he was also a fulfillment of prophecy. Not only was he a prophet, he was a fulfillment of prophecy. Verse number 10, Jesus quotes Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. John 1:29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John had a privileged calling to be the one after 400 years of silence to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. Is a privileged calling. But I want to remind us tonight that we have the same privileged calling that John had, to point others to Jesus Christ. We have the same responsibility entrusted to us. Charles Spurgeon said this, he said, we are to be a sign that simply points others to Jesus. We're to be a sign that points others to Jesus. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said that John is the greatest because he had personal character and that he lived up to his privileged calling. Doubt got a hold of the great John the Baptist, but he didn't stay long. He was not a man shaken by the wind. He was a man of commitment. And tonight I want to encourage us to stay committed to the cause, to keep on going, to be encouraged and to stay committed, even in discouraging situations like John. John never got to hear all those great things that Jesus said about him. John never heard Jesus compliment him so highly because Jesus wanted John to focus on Jesus. And so remember, the next time you're doing your best to live according to the Bible, but you're looking around wondering if anybody notices, you're wondering how much you actually matter, God says you matter more than you think you do. I notice what you're doing. I see what's going on. So stay committed and keep on going. Be encouraged. Stay committed. When in doubt, don't focus on yourself or your circumstances and what's going on around you. When in doubt, focus on Jesus. I'll close with this last verse. The Bible says this, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Stay encouraged. Let's bow our heads tonight. We'll have a word of prayer. How many of you say, you know, Matt, the Word of God was an encouragement to me tonight. And I don't always hear all those things. I don't always get the affirmation, the recognition, but I know that God notices. And tonight, the Word of God was an encouragement to me. If that's you, can you slip your hand up so I can pray? Praise the Lord. How many of you could say, tonight, I've been a little bit back and forth. John was a man who was not a reed shaking with the wind. John was a man of stability. How many of you could say, you know, Matt, tonight I'm deciding I'm going to stay committed to God's will for my life. I'm not going to be up and down. I'm going to stay committed. If that's you, can I see your hand? I'm going to stay committed. Put your hands down. Last question is this. John was at a moment in his life where he needed some clarification. He wasn't sure about this. He had some uncertainty. He was the greatest, but he had some doubts. And there might be some of you in here tonight, for whatever reason, you're not sure about heaven. You're not sure about hell. And the Bible talks about how we can know, we can get that clarification. How many of you say, Matt, if I was being honest with you, I'm not sure about heaven and hell, and I want that clarification. I'm just not sure. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I'm just not sure about that. I need clarification. Thank you. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray that each one of us would just decide to stay committed, and I pray that we would not be a reed shaken with the wind. And God, I pray that we would just be encouraged. And Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name.